This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing this evening?
You know, I'm doing fine. It's been kind of slow around the shop today. So, yeah, I've just been smoking a whole lot of tobacco. And, man, I'm wired. I'm just wired.
Man, this is like a complete role reversal for us. Because typically, I'm the one who comes in here like...
Yeah, you're the one all gloomy, like, oh, I need to get amped up.
Not and
like,
gloomy.
You're not gloomy. Not but, gloomy. Like, I'm just... Yeah, man, I'm wide open, dude. My heart's pounding. I've had a lot of coffee. I've gotten a lot done today. Yeah, it's been great.
We're getting started a little bit later than normal.
That's okay. Sometimes those things crop up. I just like when that happens, Bo, that, you know, normally it's my fault, but this time it was your fault.
Well, you know, I don't want to point fingers or anything. But...
Really, there is no fault, yeah, right? I mean, like, everyone gets gold stars. Everyone gets A's. There are no stormy clouds anymore. It's all sunshine.
Look, man, it was like, here's the deal. I was, as some of you know, if you tuned in last week, you heard me say I went out to Pittsburgh for this awesome thing that I was a part of.
Yeah, that's right.
And while out there, I was there gone for an entire week almost. And of course, you know, we do a couple of different shows. So I actually had a podcast I needed to record from my hotel room in Pittsburgh. I broke down all the equipment, brought it all with me. Fortunately, it all made its way back. However, not all of it made its way here tonight at first, but. Anyway.
But it's here now.
It's here now. So we're all good. And that hopefully means a great show.
Tell us about the weather in Pittsburgh. Was it crazy when you were up there?
Okay.
Down here in Mississippi, we're, you know, it gets like two pellets of sleet on the ground. And it's like, oh, close the schools. No one goes to work and all this kind of stuff. But
no,
I know up there they had some real issues, right?
All right. So this was, you know, it was beautiful. I have to say that it was beautiful, but it was cold. And of course, this was right during that whole blizzard 2016 that was going on.
Yeah.
It culminated at the very end with me getting stuck in the Pittsburgh airport for 2 days, as I was trying to make my way home.
I didn't know that.
I thought that's terrible. Yeah, it was rough, man.
What a disaster.
It was rough, but hey, you know what? I didn't have to drive and that's what's important. I do want to give a little bit of a apology. I do want to kind of state my apologies. I had plans to actually go out to, and I want to say this right, although I could be mispronouncing it.
Allegheny.
Thank you. the Allegheny Smokeworks that's in Pittsburgh. It's a pipe shop that a lot of people recommended to me. They even reached out to me via Twitter, and I was looking forward to going by there. And just with the weather being the way it was, I wasn't able to get out. Hopefully next time I'm in Pittsburgh, which I should be around, maybe in about six months. So, next time I'm out there, I'll definitely be checking it out. I really do want to say they are really awesome in terms of their customer service and just their outreach. So, if y'all are in the Pittsburgh area, be sure to check them out. And, hopefully I will be doing the same next time I'm in town.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That's now, great. While I was away, you actually had somebody come here.
Man, it was so awesome. You know, we've developed this pipe pilgrimage thing and it's a deal now. There's actually a hashtag on Instagram.
Let's be honest.
It's incredible.
We did not develop
this. It organically developed from our CSR family.
Yeah, I can't remember the first listener to use that term, but we should probably give that person a badge or something.
Yeah, we need to find that person, and they need at least a free box of Girl Scout cookies.
Something.
Right. But yeah, this is the thing. You know, we've had folks come miles and miles out of their way to come see us here in Jackson at the Country Squire. And, man, our friend Matthew Butler from Michigan, decided he was on his way down, you know, Michigan. He was going to, Houston, Texas, actually.
Wow.
Really interesting. He was going on his way to get on a cruise to work a cruise as a sign language interpreter.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. Man.
I was like, man, it's such a fascinating deal. Yeah. So, but anyway, Matthew, took several hours out of his way, just to come here to Jackson to see us here at the Squire.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, it was really exciting. We got to spend pretty much a whole day together. It was great. But, Matthew's interesting guy. You know, we smoked a lot of tobacco together, compared a lot of notes. He's tends to smoke kind of like me, a little bit of everything, would probably lean towards the English blends and Latakias. But, anyways, just really, really thoughtful dude. I was really glad to hang out with them. And I tell you what, he hooked me up with some swag.
What?
That I'm sure was meant for both of us,
no.
But I want to share this. In the entrepreneurial spirit that he is.
Yeah.
He was going to open a store where he sells, disc golf stuff.
Now that's where you throw a frisbee at a tree, right?
Something like that.
But
I've actually never played disc golf, but imagine a golf course, okay? But But instead of, you know, clubs and golf balls, you've got frisbees.
Yeah.
Basically something that looks like a frisbee.
I say this as a joke because I'm looking at what you got in your hands. This is clearly meant for like legit.
No.
You know, the frisbee goes, I want to say in like the chain thing that it goes into.
No. That's the thing. It's like a basket that basically works as a golf, you know, as a hole on a green or something.
Right.
But anyway, his company's name is, Disc King. And you can go to his website at disc-king.com, and he was just kind enough to hook us up with some discs. These,
oh man,
you know, you look at them, the novice eye would look at these and assume all these, you know, are just frisbees and they all look exactly the same, but if you pay attention to them, one of them is very thin, so that's kind of like your, you know, if you're playing golf, that'd be kind of like your driver.
Okay.
Another that's a little thicker, that might be like a, I don't know, maybe an iron or a pitching wedge or something. And then you've got your putter, which is
real durable.
But it's not going to go very far. You know, it's one of those that's going to kind of get you on the green and on into the hole. So, but anyway, I thought that was so cool, man.
That's awesome.
Man, and he said, like, people smoke their pipes and play disc golf.
That's incredible. Why don't we do that?
Isn't that cool?
We should do that.
I don't know.
We actually do have a disc golf course in between
right
the
down
shop
the
and the house. Yeah.
Yeah, just right down the street.
Man, we got to make that happen.
And you can drink beer while you're doing it.
Yeah.
He said also people smoke other things sometimes, but he doesn't discourage or encourage that. That's a choice of to each their own.
On the other hand, we don't endorse that. But yeah, man, this is awesome. This is great. This is so cool.
Anyway,
I thought that was
great. Yeah, Matthew, thanks for coming by, brother. And yeah, it was a lot of fun to be able to connect. And man, I look forward to trying out some disc golf.
Absolutely.
I thought that's sweet.
Well, great, man. Look, we got a great show for everybody tonight. We are talking about blowfish pipe shapes.
That's right.
Now, from time to time, we like to take a look at different styles of pipes. You know, we talked about briar and different things that make up meerschaum and that sort of thing. We've talked about different stems. We've talked about different tools. And on occasion, we like to talk about various shapes.
Pipe shapes as well.
I think back to, one we did on the bulldog pipe shape. Relatively recently. I think that's kind of still available on iTunes.
We may have done like the poker before too.
That sounds about right.
Either a poker or cherry wood, something like that. Yeah, I remember that coming around.
But the blowfish is a great one because we're talking about a very distinctive looking pipe.
Yeah, that's right. And it's something that, it has really evolved, but it's also a bizarre shape. It's one of those that, you can find a lot of different pipes that someone's going to call blowfish. Are any of them going to have the same specs? No. And that kind of is the definition of a blowfish. Like defining a blowfish is almost like, you know, defining the, religious beliefs of humans.
Are you saying that there's like a denomination for this pipe shape?
There might be. No, but if there were, that denomination would be extremely fractured and confused.
Okay. Fair enough.
Kind of like the Presbyterian tree. I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
No, but it's, this is a shape that's just got, just a whole lot of character. And it's by virtue of what the goal of the pipe is in itself. So typically, if you're thinking of a blowfish and you're listening to this podcast, obviously you're not looking at any, visuals right now, but think of a pipe where the bowl is like a large ball. Okay. And the ball is kind of squished in on both sides so that both sides of the ball are kind of flat. Obviously your chamber will enter from the top, in most cases, we would like to think. And then the ball, of course, it's squished in on both sides, but the two circular parts that are squished in are going to not be symmetrical. So you might have one side that flares out a little more, or maybe one of the sides of the ball is a lot smaller than the other side. And the idea here, is something that's probably pretty unique to this shape and for no other shape at all. But the idea of the blowfish is that it was developed, to showcase grain. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So with a lot of pipes, you always find, like, let's say you're smoking a brandy or a Lavat or a billiard or whatever. And it's like, oh, that's got beautiful grain. Well, the idea with the blowfish is that, you know, the whole point of the pipe shape is to follow the grain of the briar. Okay. Imagine a pipe that has perfect cross grain all along the top, all around the top of the bowl, the front of the bowl, and then the bottom. but then the sides are completely 100% covered in bird's eye grain. Huh. Okay. So imagine, you know, this is really for your bird's eye grain lover. Okay?
And we've talked about the grain breakdown in the past and we what have. Specifically these terms.
We sure have. Yeah. Yes. You've got cross grain, you've got straight grain, you've got bird's eye grain and flame grain, just a variety of different kinds. But imagine your bird's eye grain all along the sides of this pipe, okay? And so, you know, if you're thinking about a large, bold pipe that's got flat sides on both the sides from where you kind of squish that ball in, you know, the idea is because the pipe, it has so much, you might call it like a canvas along the side to really showcase whatever you're going to put on that side is going to be really the centerpiece of the art for that pipe.
Right.
Well, that entire pipe is just tight bird's eye grain.
Huh.
And so, think of it like this. And it's kind of hard to describe, but picture this. Like if you're carving a pipe, you're not going into this particular pipe with necessarily a shape idea. You're going into it thinking, okay, every single bit of this side of the pipe is going to be bird's eye. Okay. And so I'm going to stop carving the side of the pipe wherever the bird's eye stops. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following you.
So you're gonna carve only, you know, only as far as the bird's eye will let you go on this side of the pipe, and then you're gonna stop. Now, what you'll notice on a lot of pipes, you know, traditional shaped pipes, is that you know, the sides will be kind of rounded into the top, right?
Right.
So you'll have like the, you know, the side or the bottom of the pipe will kind of round into the, even if it's got a little panel to it, it might be kind of rounded into the side and then into the top. But with a blowfish, you'll notice that there's always a hard edge there. There's always a hard line edge.
One might even call it a fin.
It could be called a fin. It could be the blowfish. Do blowfishes have fins?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have fins.
That's it's a fish.
Or a sea. Yeah, right. So it might be this, a fin, that line, that fin, is gonna be what, determines exactly where that bird's eye stops. And so a proper blowfish, someone that's gonna tell you what a purist blowfish is going to be a blowfish where the bird's eye is all up the side, but as soon as that bird's eye stops, you've got a line there.
Right.
Okay. It's a hard edge that is going to go over to the top, and at the top, it's going to be all cross grain. So think of all cross grain, flanking the top of the bowl, the front of the bowl, and all underneath the bowl.
But I'm telling that it sounds like, you know, almost like the briar is defining the pipe.
It is
more than the carver.
That's right.
Is that universally the case, or is that just the origins of how the
a purist is going to tell you that's how this developed. Now, okay. Lars Iversen, the famous Danish pipe maker who his pipes are, you know, worth thousands of dollars. This is someone that, you know, if you get your hands on one of his pipes first, you're lucky enough just to find one in the United States. But, you know, if you can, you're going to pay for it. But his goal in developing the shape was to do just that, to let the grain tell him where to go and then, you know, follow that shape. And the whole idea is if you find any cross grain on the side of the pipe, or if you find any bird's eye on the top of the pipe, then you've done it wrong. You've done it wrong. Like the idea is to have the whole top and bottom of the pipe completely cross grain. Uh-huh. Now I see you smiling there because it's like, you know, how can you say something's wrong if it's such a bizarre thing anyway? It's like, well, but that's the idea.
It makes me think of Bob Ross. Because, like, you think about Bob Ross, and he's all just like, all right, there's like a, what lives here? Let's find this right here. And then, but he would always say, you know, like, oh, we don't make mistakes. It's just happy little accidents. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Of course, I guess the Bob Ross method of anything is more of like you as the creator define what's on the page in the world, and you kind of discover it as you go along. Whereas this, I mean, it really sounds like in order to be a purist, man, you gotta let that briar own you a little bit.
You do. You really do. And that's why no two, blowfish, pipes are ever gonna be the same. Another thing that's different about this pipe, because you're so, sold out to following the map that the briar gives you. Did you like how I did that?
I did like that.
Because you're so sold out to that, the drilling of the pipe actually comes last. And that's what's interesting. A lot of pipe carvers will actually drill their pipes, the air passageway, the mortise hole, and then the chamber hole. They'll actually drill that first and then kind of shape their pipe around that. But with a blowfish, you're forced to do it last. And the idea is there, you don't know exactly where the briar's going to take you. Damn. You don't know where the grain's going to take you. And so, now imagine you've spent all this time shaping this exquisite block of briar, you know, following the map that it's so subtly, you know, leading you down. And then you have to drill it, which is one of the most dangerous parts of the whole carving process at the very end. That's nerve wracking. Yeah. Like that's awful. Like I would say,
it's make or break.
It literally could be break. And I would say some terrible things if that happened. I mean, awful things. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of the idea, with the blowfish. Another thing with blowfish pipes too is that curiously enough, they're often will use, Ebauchon briar rather than plateau briar. You often think, just as pipe lay people, would think that, you know, the plateau briar, the ones that closest to the bark of the briar are going to have the most exquisite grain. And often they do, particularly straight grain. But, that ability to find that real, just solid bird's eye that stands out. And if the point of a blowfish is really to showcase the bird's eye along the sides of your pipe, that you're going to find that typically more in those middle pieces of briar, the Ebauchon. If you're not familiar with those terms, like you've got plateau that are closest to the top, and then the Ebauchon, that's the lower part of the briar.
Yeah.
But farther away from the bark. So anyway, that's just kind of part of it.
All right. But so the blowfish, at least from my experience, they always seem to be very large pipes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're always going to be large. And because the grain always has to be so ridiculous, you've got ridiculous grain, extremely large pipe in most cases. You're almost always talking about a very expensive pipe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You've never seen like it here in the shop where, you know, our wall pipes are kind of our entry level pipes. You know, people come in and they're like, hey, I want to start smoking a pipe. I don't know if I want to spend $100 on a pipe yet, but point me to your value pipe, show them on the wall. There are no wall pipes in our shop that are blowfish.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to be a basket pipe you're going to find.
Now, what's interesting, of course, I've talked so much about grain, right? So much about grain. Obviously, you're going to find sandblasted blowfish, right? So if you've sandblasted a blowfish, what does that mean? Does it mean you haven't followed the grain? Well, yes and no. I mean, a lot of times when you sandblast something, you can still see the grain, and it even brings it out in a way that you might not recognize before.
We've had this discussion before that some people actually sandblast a certain method just to showcase the
grain. Just to showcase grain that might not be visible there when it's a smooth pipe.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I actually got put in my place by a few people that really believe
that. Yeah. I was kind of siding with them.
And since then, I appreciate their views. But
that's all you have to say.
And that's
about
all
that.
I have to say. But you know, you've got a pipe here, obviously, that, you know, you can sandblast to get some of the grain to come out in a different way than it would when it's smooth. But then also, because blowfish pipes are so bizarre, and they've got that big ball that kind of is squashed on both sides look generally, just by virtue of following the grain, a lot of folks have taken, that kind of shape and size, and they've just said, you know what, we're just going to call this a blowfish regardless of the grain at all. And so they've done that, and they've made some beautiful pipes that, some machine made, some handmade. But then they've sandblasted these pipes, and they're beautiful pipes. But, you know, I think a purist is going to tell you the point of the blowfish is going to be, to really focus on the grain.
To me, I'm not a purist, right? So, I mean, like,
I'm not either. I think our listeners know both of us well enough.
Yeah. We're not necessarily snobs from that standpoint.
Right.
I love that it has an origin story so focused on getting to kind of the core of the briar.
Yeah.
But I'm also extremely comfortable with the idea that that origin story has designed and developed a natural shape, even if the pipe isn't that individual pipe isn't defined by the particular briar.
You nailed it.
Yeah. And so from that standpoint, you almost have these scales of what kind of blowfish you might be looking for. If you want just that exquisite, you know, that exquisite, just prime, perfect, getting back to the briar, blowfish pipe, then you've got that, and you've they come with a price point.
Right.
Or if you just like the shape and the style, which is totally fine to just like that.
That's right.
More so than the actual grain, then you've got that for a little bit less money, but still.
Absolutely.
A huge chunk of briar.
Yeah. It's a big piece of wood. Yeah.
And actually Morta too. There's some Morta pipes that would,
there are that would consider, you know, they call themselves blowfish pipes and they're Morta, you know, and so right. The grain is just a totally different ball game in that sphere completely. So, you know, you've got a lot of variations on it, but that's kind of the story behind the blowfish pipe. I tell you, there's some beautiful, machine-made blowfish pipes now. Our friends at Briarworks, Todd Johnson, there at Briarworks, along with our friend Pete Prevost, a good friend of the shop and of, Country Squire Radio, they have designed a machine-made blowfish pipe.
Is that right?
And it's stunning. It's yeah. absolutely gorgeous. I mean, and they say they guard the secret of how they make that pipe so dramatically. I can only imagine, but, this is a pipe that is just, you don't even know in your mind how on earth it could be a machine that way.
Yeah.
But it's a incredibly gorgeous pipe and, holding one is a real treat, but, and they're again, in some way, they're able to get all those sides flanked with the bird's eye and then again, cross grain on the top and bottom. It's really, really sharp.
Yep. That's awesome. Man, Briarworks too. Great company. It does not surprise me that they've done some innovative things in terms of machine made pipes.
Oh man. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 I agree.
So, I mean, blowfish, anything else? You know, would you ever find one swimming around the sea?
Maybe the pipe sea.
The pipe sea.
The tobacco sea.
Do you actually own a blowfish?
You know, I don't own a blowfish.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, I've kind of gotten the point in my pipe collecting. Like, you know, I, it's hard for me to pull the trigger on a pipe if I don't envision myself smoking it.
You envision yourself smoking a lot of pipes, sir.
And I do.
I have seen you pull the trigger.
No, I do. It's kind of terrifying, actually, how many pipes I own. Yeah, it's one that I haven't added it to my collection yet. I probably will at some point.
It's on the list.
But you know, it's one of those pipes that, it's going to be a big pipe, which I'm not really used to. It's very asymmetrical, which I prefer a symmetrical shaped pipe, something in my hand that feels very balanced on both sides. And the whole point of a blowfish is to not be that. So, I just don't own one yet. But, you know, someday, yeah, we'll probably take the plunge.
Well, hopefully we get some listeners to actually send in some pictures of their blowfish. So if you've got one, tweet it into us. You know, we love actually seeing tweets in from people showcasing their pipes.
Yes,
last
we do.
Couple of episodes, we've actually been showcasing some pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
Yeah.
And asking you guys to actually tweet pictures of the individual pipe that we actually focus on the feature in the episode. And this week's episode is actually brought to us by the Missouri Meerschaum Mark Twain. Now, you've actually got some right here, which is great.
Yeah. We're proud to sell Mark Twain Missouri Meerschaum pipes in our shop here. It's a classic Dublin-shaped pipe. And so you've got, you know, imagine your corn cob that's been kind of tapered at the bottom, taller at the top, and then it's got a hardwood insert on the side for the shank. And with a nice mouthpiece there. So, these do take the cotton filters, that you just expect from Missouri Meerschaum. A lot of folks actually have started replacing these with the balsa filters if they want to.
Right?
Which is kind of nice.
I feel like if you're smoking a Mark Twain, though, you got to have a little cotton.
I think there's probably a little cotton that is you know, it's appropriate.
Look, it's great. This is actually part of their Hannibal Collection pipe series, which also includes the Huck Finn and the Tom Sawyer.
Oh, yeah.
The idea, of course, is a nice big bowl so you can pack it up and you can be floating down the Mississippi while you're enjoying your pipe tobacco and your Mark Twain.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
I love it. It's a house favorite.
So here's what we want you to do. If you're listening and you actually own a Mark Twain, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture, tweet it into us. We'll retweet it out. We love retweeting those from you guys. And we love the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum for helping make this podcast happen.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Orlick Golden Slice.
Ow!
There it is. Man, okay, here's a little tobacco trivia for you, man. So Orlick Golden Slice, we've talked about it the last couple of episodes, actually originated in July of 1958.
Okay.
It was originally a very slow start in terms of actually people buying it, but it's today one of the best-selling pipe tobaccos in Denmark.
Yeah.
Now, here is your tobacco trivia.
Okay.
If that wasn't enough for you. Over in Denmark, they actually call it Red Orlick.
See, this amazes me. Like, I can't imagine it being called anything else. And Orlick Golden Slice is so profound. Like, even when you, people come in, they say, do you have Orlick? Do you have Orlick? Like, you know, you just think of it as being the only Orlick,
right?
Because it's just Orlick. But, but, you know, the red Orlick, I love that idea. I kind of want to call it red Orlick.
Man.
But here in the States, it's the Golden Slice.
I have a feeling you're about to make a change. It's good stuff.
It's so great. I almost had a revolt on my hands this week at the shop because, I ran out of Orlick Golden Slice, here at our shop. And so, you know, we've constantly got folks coming in asking for it. And I ran out. And so, I was lucky enough today on a small shipment to get 3 tins in, and the seas were calmed. So the
that's good.
The little Orlick hungry fishes were fed.
I love it. That's so good. Pipe question this week is actually from our good friend Morten Sendevi. Morten, of course, you know, we've been covering through his quick fire questions. We've got more of his actually later in the show. But he does have a legitimate pipe question this week, and it's about pipes burning hot.
Okay.
He says, why does it get scorching and what can you do about it? Is there a trick other than just slowly puffing?
Mm.
Now, this is something that especially, newcomers to the pipe can really, really kind of, empathize with, as you're smoking your pipe, you're enjoying it, but man, that bowl can get really, really hot.
Yeah, it is a function of tobacco. It is a function of, you know, your cadence in puffing. I love that word cadence when talking about puffing.
You haven't said cadence in a while.
Yeah, that's such a good word, though, to describe your rhythm of puffing. It takes that certain, you know, there's slowness, and then there's, you know, at points where you have to be more quick and deliberate and stronger. So anyway, all that to say, like, your cadence and the tobacco are key, but also that piece of briar is extremely important on how, you know, hot or cold it's going to smoke. I'm telling you, like, some pipes, I've seen pipes walk in the shop that, you know, are, you know, $35, $40 wall pipes, you know, and these pipes smoke just on the outside of the bowl, just as cool and just as, you know, solid as anything. And
really?
And a lot of times they'll even, you know, they'll be smooth pipes. They'll be sandblasted pipes. You've got, you know, but a lot of times it's the grain, you know, my theory on that is the grain is so tight, and so good in certain areas that it's just providing a really, well ventilated pipe there.
Hmm.
And then on the flip side of that, I've had folks buy, you know, literally $400 pipes that you cannot touch the outside of them, while they're smoking. Now, they might smoke coolly on your tongue, but, you know, it's like the eye of a stove when you're touch the outside of a pipe is that hot. And so, you know, a lot of it is just due to the nature of the briar, and you can't get around that. And unfortunately, you don't really know that on the front end of purchasing a pipe.
Right. So you've really heated it up. You don't know exactly how hot it's going to get.
You don't, you know. And so, you know, I'm honestly, like, if you have a good experience with a carver or with a pipe manufacturer, you want to keep going back to them. But, you know, and then there are other companies, you know, you've tried some of their pipes, and man, their pipes just smoke kind of hot,
yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's a function of they don't age it as long, so it doesn't dry out as much, or maybe their source of briar, you know, the grain isn't quite as tight or, you know, secure in certain areas, or I don't know, but yeah, it's not just a function of your rhythm and the tobacco. A lot of it has to do just with the briar, and you won't be able to fix that, with the pipe. So don't get frustrated. If that's the case, I will say, you know, pipes can smoke cooler over time. There's something about building a cake in a pipe. We always compare it to like a cast iron skillet, like seasoning a cast iron skillet. And here in the South, a lot of folks cook with these, stovetop, even in the oven, you know, whatever. They're just so versatile, but that's a piece of equipment that gets better as you use it. It's something that, you know, as it's seasoned, it just gets better. It just cooks better. And your pipe can get that way too.
Sure.
Obviously it can. I mean, we talk about breaking in a pipe, but in my experience is a pipe can smoke cooler over time too. So stick with the pipe. If it doesn't have enough cake, build some more cake in it. Try to, you know, get an even cake, build it with something that you really, know is going to, stick on there really well, and just give it some time and see if it does better. But yeah.
You know, I think I've got a, church warden pipe that's a really tiny bowl, little acorn.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's a small enough bowl that it's not something that I normally smoke, like, you know, for hours on end at all. But generally, it is going to get hot pretty quick.
Yeah.
And so the beautiful thing, though, is since it's a church wort, I almost never hold it by the bowl. You know, like I do it first, but then after that, you just kind of grab it by the stem.
And that's the nice part of a long stem pipe is that you have that option, right? Like even, you know, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know, I'm a sucker for a Savinelli Bing's Favorite. Like I just, I'm just a sucker for one. Like I'm just always, you know, it's very hard to catch me out and about without one close to me. I love a Bing's Favorite pipe. But you know, you think of a Bing's Favorite pipe, it's a small frame pipe. And the walls of the bowl tend to be kind of thin. Now, I think on average, it smokes very coolly. But there are those times when maybe you've puffed it a lot to, you know, get it stoked up or, you know, or maybe it is a hotter tobacco that you're smoking. And the bowl will get hot. But there's something about that long stem and shank on a Bing's Favorite where, you know, you can just grab it right there on the shank and it's just really easy. Yeah. So with smaller pipes, though, sometimes you don't have that. Don't have that luxury. So, yeah. Anyway, don't get too frustrated. It's not just the tobacco and your rhythm. It could be the pipe.
Great question, Morton. And if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in to us, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, man, we got some quick fire questions.
Man, bring them.
Dude, carrying on, Morton, man. So not only did he provide our pipe question of the week, of course, we've been rocking through this epically long list. I think we will probably knock it out like with between this episode and – no, we got two more episodes.
Between this episode and like April.
Yeah. Yay. No. I think we'll be able to finish it mid-February, but here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah, bring it.
Fancy tapper?
Tamper?
Tamper. What'd I say? Tapper?
You did.
Got to tap that ash.
You do have to tap that. You have to tamp that ash. You have to tamp the ash.
Tamp the ash.
It's very important.
Fancy tamper or check tamper? What is a check tamper?
Okay. A check tamper bow. I'm going to grab one. Hold on.
Ooh.
This is a check tool. Okay.
Okay. Now
you've probably seen these like, yeah. I mean, people, you know, serious pipe smokers, you know, buy these by the dozen and then, you know, go on to lose them by the handful. And so you're just constantly replacing them. But a check tool is this three-way tool. That, you know, obviously has your tamp, your pick and your spoon. It's called a Czech tool.
I never knew that.
Well, a lot of folks don't know, but if you'll see on the side, it says made in Czech Republic tool.
Very good.
And man. So, yeah, that's what they're called. A lot of folks don't know that. They'll just call them a three-way tool. But anyway, so if the question is fancy tamper or Czech tool, I have to go with a Czech tool. And I'm going to be real honest. Like, I abuse these things. I lose them all the time. And this one is so versatile. Like, it's kind of like the, you know, we talk about like, you know, really durable stuff, like a Nokia cell phone. Like,
yeah.
Like you could run over one with a bus and like it would still work. Like, like that's your check tool. Like you're just not going to hurt it.
I love it. That's good.
Yeah. So I have to go with check tool.
I'm going to go with you on that one. Mostly because I've got some fancy tampers, but one of them was destroyed by my dog.
And, see, there you go.
And like, you know, the other one, I'm almost too scared to ever take it out of the house for fear of losing it. So yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Check tool.
Lion or tiger?
Lion. What about a liger?
Ooh.
Is that an option?
Ooh.
I have to go with tiger. I mean, I'm sorry, lion. I've just given you three answers, Bo, yeah, one question.
Yeah, lion's good. Lion's more regal, right? I kind of like the lion.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got the Jackson State Tigers. I feel like I got to go for Tigers for the home team.
Hometown team. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Leftover pizza, hot or cold? Now, this is specifically leftover pizza.
Oh, okay. Leftover pizza, hotter. I have to go with cold. There are certain times you want something hot and all you've got is that leftover pizza. So you warm the pizza up. But I'm telling you, for breakfast, cold leftover pizza.
Cold leftover, especially if it's ham and pineapple.
No, the Hawaiian pizza.
Dude.
Yeah.
That is like the best day after pizza.
Yeah. That's like a casserole.
Yes. I'm with stupid or I am stupid. Be careful.
I'm with stupid, Bo.
So am I.
We need those shirts that like point to the other person.
Right. Right. And, that'd be great. And then finally, life of pie or slice of pie?
Oh, give me the slice. That's good. Give me the slice of pie.
I never saw Life of Pie.
I didn't either.
Or read the book.
Was that movie, you know, I remember watching the Oscars that year and every time they brought up this movie, there was this, like, I think it was like an Indian kid in a canoe with the lion.
Tiger.
And like, that's all I know about that movie is that there's an Indian kid in a canoe with a tiger.
Threesa.
And that's literally all I know about it.
Yeah.
Like that, that's like that. No plot at all.
No, this is
just floating around the world like
dude in a boat with a tiger.
With a tiger. With you. Like I'm forever. With you. Right.
And yeah. It seems like a cool premise.
Sounds riveting.
What kind of pie are we talking about? If it's pecan pie, I'm going with pecan pie. But if it's like blueberry pie, then I'll probably watch The Life of Pi.
I will take pie any day over the week over The Life of Pi.
Fair enough. Wow. not a ringing endorsement for The Life of Pi. However, huge ringing endorsement for pie.
Look, I'm all about pie.
Look, have you ever seen, what was it? Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah, fantastic great film. Movie. Yeah, really good movie.
There's that scene where Will Ferrell says to the professor, and he says, he's like, you know, who on earth would choose pancakes over life? He's saying, like, you know, talking about this choice of, you know, continue to live your life or eat pancakes.
Okay.
So who on earth would choose to eat pancakes instead of living their life? He says, I don't think you're taking into consideration the type of life being lived and the quality of the pancakes.
I'm saying, man, those are serious questions.
That's a good question. I mean, like,
right.
That's great, man.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback this week comes in to us from all of you guys. We got some great listener feedback coming.
Oh, man, really good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. First one is from Facebook, from Parker Brunson. He says, I had a great idea for an episode/discussion. I think it would be cool to explore some of the classic pipe tobaccos that our grandfathers would have smoked. Blends such as Prince Albert, Carter Hall, Half and Half, Sir Walter Riley, have been around since the Stone Age, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool to discuss the history of some of these blends and how they have survived through the decades, which ones are worth trying, etc. Personally, my grandfather smoked Prince Albert, and I have always wanted to learn more about that particular blend. Man, great idea.
Parker, great idea. Yeah, we have a lot of folks that, you know, they still smoke these blends. I mean, these are drugstore, over-the-counter blends that, you know, just have their niche followings. It's almost like a Pabst Blue Ribbon or something.
Right.
Like, you know, you go to the bar and all the beers are $6, but you're broke. And so you're like, man, give me a PBR, you know, but like,
that's not me.
You just wouldn't drink beer.
You
ask for ice water and eat the free chips. But, you know,
when you're asked for PBR, you're basically asking for ice water anyway.
Well, okay. But look, you know, you've got folks that just, there's something, it's not just a nostalgia thing either. It's you know, people love those tobaccos. So yeah, Parker, I think that's a great idea. We'll have to get on that.
All right. Next one from iTunes.
Yeah. Our next one comes on iTunes from Jay Griffin. He says, it doesn't get any better than this. Well, okay. That's a lie. Sitting at the Country Squire with these guys would be better. Living away from the shop that I love. This lets me keep a connection to what it feels like to be there. What is great about the podcast is that even though I can learn new things after 14 years of smoking a pipe, this podcast is about so much more. Listening is not only great, a great look into the world of pipes and tobacco, but it also feels like sitting down and smoking a pipe while talking with two of your best pipe smoking friends. I'm blushing here as I'm reading this. if you aren't a listener but love pipe smoking and the culture around it, what are you waiting for? Man, Justin in Vermont on iTunes.
That's great.
Thank you so much, brother.
Wow.
It's always really good to hear from you, buddy.
That's awesome. And finally, we've got a comment from the YouTube channel. It's from I'm a Wrench, who says, love my two Cobbett pipes and my two Country Gentleman pipes are some of the best smokes in my collection. Loves them. You fellas need to get some better glassware, referring to, of course, when we did our Squire Select episode out of our, what were we drinking out of?
I'm sure it was a solo cup,
like,
or something.
Plastic cups or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
Yeah. better glasses for the liquid goodness. I was afraid you were going to drop a soda straw in there. not a huge sushi fan, but I can attest to fantastic sushi here in Des Moines, Iowa.
It's called Des Moines.
That's what I said, right? Des Moines.
Sure.
Hey, you called a lion a tiger, and then you called a tiger a lion. So
there's the liger, too.
Tapas,
these are all options.
He finishes saying, tapas for me every time. Sure, enjoy the time in the shop. Take care, guys. Steven.
Man, thanks so much, Steven.
That's so good. I knew we were gonna get a little bit of flack from that. There's no good sushi in Iowa.
No, I mean, that.
I still stand by it, actually. I think it's great, Steven, that you've heard that there's good sushi in Iowa. That does not necessarily justify or stamp down that there is good sushi in Iowa.
Okay, but Bo and I live 3 hours from the ocean. Okay, we're in Jackson, Mississippi, which is about 3 hours from the Gulf of Mexico.
This is correct.
And Bo, I will eat oysters in Jackson. Bo will not eat oysters in Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, we're still like trucks come from the coast to Jackson literally every day to supply certain restaurants in Jackson. And Bo still would not eat the oysters here.
You don't know that they're Gulf oysters? You don't know that?
Yeah, they might be them Pearl River oysters.
I'm just saying, man.
Man, they dug them oysters at the Bogachita in Scott County.
You gotta be careful. Well, great feedback, guys. We really appreciate this and have been loving getting some more iTunes reviews in from you that are out there writing us iTunes reviews.
It's really great.
Even those of you who are actually just tuning in for the YouTube channel, if you haven't headed over to iTunes or written us a review, now is the time to do it. We would love for you to do that. Also, we love getting your emails, your Facebook messages, your tweets, all of that good stuff, which you can, of course, continue to do if you go to facebook.com/countrysquireradio or follow us on Twitter @SquireRadio. You can also follow us individually. I'm @TheRealBoYork.
I'm @JohnDavidCole, and you can get us at the shop @_countrysquire.
All of that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com, where you can tune in live every single Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Central. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. And man, it has been a great show tonight.
Had a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
We do have some feedback that yes, PBR is for broke college kids and hipsters. Our friend Raffy says that.
Why is it for hipsters?
Wait, it's just, I don't know. It's a thing.
This is a thing. No, when I was in New York, it wasn't PBR, but yeah, it was like a PBR-like beer. They charged like $12 for this thing. They cracked open this beer, and then they poured like Tabasco sauce on it and some bitters.
That's foul.
And they gave it to you. And they like charged you like $12 for it.
Someone should be drawn a quarter for that. That's bad.
It's crazy. And it tasted pretty good, but not $12 worth. It's insane.
Hochter also says, a check tool is to a pipe guy what a Swiss Army knife is to MacGyver. So imagine, like, with a check tool, you can do anything from like cure cancer to murder someone to tamp your pipe.
Let's stick with the cure cancer section as opposed to the murdering.
Yeah, they're kind of complete opposites.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's go have a night.
Yeah, see you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.